This episode of the Productivityist Podcast is brought to you by MetPro, a world-renowned concierge nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle coaching company. MetPro uses metabolic profiling, which allows them to analyze your metabolism and provide an individualized approach to obtaining your goals. I'm going to share with you my results with using MetPro for the past several weeks, among other things, during this episode of the podcast. As well, there's a special offer they have for you, so stick around. This episode of the Productivityist Podcast is also brought to you by Text Expander. You can give your productivity a boost with Text Expander. You can turn the things you type often into snippets and use them everywhere you type. I'm using it extensively. In fact, one of the things I'm doing with my operations assistant is using snippets to help streamline our work process when it comes to a whole bunch of different things. I'm going to share that story with you, among others, and a special offer that Text Expander has for listeners of the Productivityist Podcast. But for now, let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, I am joined by Chris McPeak. Chris is the author of Elevate Your Eight and the CEO of Silver Peak Development, an online career coaching community. And during the day, she also works at the foundation of a community college. She loves swimming, knitting, binge-watching TV, who doesn't love that, and learning new things. You're going to learn a bunch of new things with Chris as the guest, and maybe some things that you're just going to be reinforced with. And you know, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have that reinforcement every once in a while. I was really excited to have the chance to talk with Chris. And again, this episode's been in the can for a while, so keep that in mind. We're in the summer season right now, so there's a lot of things that we've batched, and this is one of those episodes. But Chris and I had a great time. I want to talk to her specifically about elevating your, what are the eight? That's the crux of what we get into in this episode. There's a whole bunch more there. So let's just get into it. Here's my conversation with Chris McPeak here on the Productivityist Podcast. I'd like to welcome Chris McPeak to the Productivityist Podcast. Chris, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to talk about this book that I'm holding in my hands, Elevate Your Eight, 21 Days to Prosperous Time Management. And I love the idea of, kind of creating a path or almost like a ritual that people can do on a daily basis to get to where they want to go and kind of elevate themselves to where they are feeling like they have more control over their time. But sure. What is the eight? Out of the gate, it's like, let's dive into, like, I want to get into this because first off, you know, when you're looking at this, it's like, I love the fact that it's your eight. So I want to clear that up. Like, why is it your eight? And then what are the eight? And we'll kind of break that down. And as we go through, we'll kind of go through those eight things without giving away the entire, you know, innards of the book in the process.
Right.
How's that sound?
Perfect. So, okay. My theory, and coming from a place of really wanting people to embrace their work-life balance and take control over their own time, their own lives, their work life, their sleep life. So there's 24 usable hours in every day, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're only working 8 hours a day and we're getting a full 8 hours of sleep at night, what remains is 8 hours. So when I say elevate your eight, that's where you're taking the time to prioritize and utilize those other 8 hours to really ramp up your time management and your productivity. So you're not wasting time as much as you're elevating those 8 hours that you have for whatever it is that you want to get done. Whether it's you have to work your exercise in, or you're going to work on your side hustle, or you have a really long commute. So what audiobooks and podcasts am I going to listen to on my commute? So that's the idea, really. If we're honoring our work-life balance and we're taking the best possible care of ourselves that we can, the remaining 8 hours out of 24 is what we want to elevate and really maximize.
So what's one of the things that you could do? You know, I mean, obviously getting enough sleep, we've heard a lot more about that, that culture of, I'll sleep when I'm dead, which you touch on in this book. You know, I think Arianna Huffington's done a good job, primarily because she's just a high profile figure of saying, hey, look, you need to get enough sleep, as opposed to, I was reading this article recently about hustle porn, like the idea of like hustling until, you know, like only carving out like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. That's not right to say that some people who talk about hustle, like Gary Vaynerchuk, is like only sleep 3 or 4 hours. I know he's had that position or a variation of that position in the past, but his message is more about what you're talking about. Like, hey, when you're what it's not so much what you do when you're how much you sleep or whatever. It's more about what you do when you're awake for that time period. And then, you know, the idea that if you're working, so this is great for people who are, maybe they're building something on the side, or maybe they don't even want to build something on the side. Maybe they have their day job, and I've got a bunch of friends that are like, hey, I'm happy with my day job, but it's the other 8 hours. Let's talk about like for the people who are, hey, you know what? I'm not building a business. I've got my day job that I'm more than happy with, my regular job. I'm doing well with it. What's one of the things that they can do right out of the gate that's going to help them with the remaining hours that they have in the day so that they don't feel like those 8 hours are kind of, you know, either not at the level they need to be or worse, going to waste?
Right. So I think the first thing that pops in my mind is that I think people don't have a clear sense sometimes of exactly how long it takes them to do things. Mm. We either overestimate or we underestimate according to, I think, what our level of comfortability is with that particular item. So for example, I have a relatively short commute, and depending on traffic, I know specifically I can get to work between 18 and 27 minutes from door to door. And that is the time that I use for my professional development, if you will, because that's where I listen to my audiobooks and my podcasts and things of that nature. But I think it'd be really easy for someone to think like, oh, it takes me such a long time to get to work. But what they really mean is it takes them a really long time to get their stuff together in their house before they get in the car and go to work. So getting a grip on how long it takes you to do the stuff that you need to do during the framework of the day. Like, for example, another example, I swim most mornings, and I have my shower routine down to, you know, a super quick shower. But I think if you were to ask most, and women, I'm sorry to call out women, but I think we're a little more guilty of this than the fellas are. If you were to ask the average woman how long it takes her to take a shower, she'd probably say like, oh yeah, I can finish in 7 minutes. But realistically, they're probably in there more like 15. And we don't think about those really sort of innate things. You know, how long does it really take you to eat dinner? Have you timed yourself sitting at the table eating your dinner? And so those things, I think people can get a grip on and sort of work that into their routine. I was actually just listening to one of your shows on morning routines. And, I find myself doing a fist pump in the air because I think everybody needs one, either a morning routine or an evening routine or both. And that's a really good practice to use if you're going to elevate your eight, so to speak, because then you can kind of get a sense of these are the set things that I need to do every morning before I sit down at my day job. And these are the set things that I need to do when I return home from my day job. And so getting a sense of how long it takes you to do these things, and then B, being honest and realistic about the priority of that stuff.
Okay, it's time to take a break from the podcast to talk about a sponsor for this episode, MetPro. Now, MetPro is a proven platform to help people transform their bodies. I am one of those people. I have been using MetPro for, you know, several weeks now. I feel great. My energy levels are up, and I've gotten into the rhythm of the foundation of the system, you know, the meal prep, the planning, the fitness. It's become part of not just what I do, but who I am. I have become someone that is definitely more into having a healthier lifestyle, both in terms of fitness and nutrition and life. And the great thing is that MetPros allow me to cater it to my lifestyle. And the way they've been able to do is it's really backed by data and driven by strategy. And you know me, I'm a productivity strategist. But what MetPro is able to do is through their team of industry-leading experts, they are challenging generalized health guidance by teaching people how to optimally manage their weight and achieve their associated goals. These experts, they'll guide you through personalized nutrition and fitness strategies and educate you about how your body responds to macro and micro adjustments to your fitness, nutrition, and daily routine. I'm big on routine. I'm big on all of that stuff. And to have an understanding of how that works is huge. And they do it in a way where, again, much like you know, anything else that you want to learn, they are able to explain it to you in a way that makes sense and makes you want to dig in a little bit deeper. Kind of like I do, I believe I do, with productivity and time management. And see, that's the thing, is that MedPro isn't really just about the whole nutrition and fitness aspect. It's really about productivity. It's not about the number of hours of the day when you're thinking about productivity either. It's about that qualitative stuff, right? And the same goes for health and wellness. It's not just about what to eat or how to train. I mean, that stuff is important. But what MedPro is able to do is through their work, they are focused on, you know, managing your time during this whole process, you know, understanding how you can work smarter by removing decision fatigue from the things that might be getting in your way, which is normally you when it comes to, you know, eating properly and you know, exercising and things like that. And they really help you establish a game plan that's really catered to you and your lifestyle needs. So when I'm using MedPro, and I can tell you my experience has been great. You know, I have 5 meals per day and I've been able to plan up to 4 days, maybe even 5 days worth of meals at a time. Often I do 3 days worth of meals, but your plan will be different than my plan. Just like productivity, it's very subjective, right? The objective is to live better and feel better. But how you get there is going to be a little bit different, right? Your metabolism is constantly changing and it's adapting to your environment. So you need to have a starting off point to make that happen. We've talked about this with productivity. The same thing applies to fitness. And how MedPro does this is through a process called metabolic profiling. It allows MedPro to get a baseline to see exactly how your body's responding to against a very specific set of variables. So they had me do some baseline testing. They said, okay, this is what it looks like, Mike, and here's what we want you to do. And from there, they're experts, whoever you get. I've got Megan. They're trained to take those results and then translate them into simple. That's the key word, actionable. Another great word, steps. What you should eat, how you should train, and what your strategy will be. It's fantastic. I'm a huge fan of MedPro. It's been something I've been using again for weeks, and I've seen the results. And it's not been that hard to do. Once you understand it and once you start to, you know, really get into it, it becomes part of what you do, like I said. And again, there's no judgment either. We have busy lives, you know, we have things that we're doing that take, I travel, you know, it's the summertime. You're going to go to barbecues and things like that. There is understanding there. And I think that that's really key too, because a lot of programs, especially when you're working with someone, there's that pressure there. The pressure is not there with MedPro. They understand the way that life works. And the great thing is you've got this foundation. So I've fallen off the wagon a couple of times, sure. But then I've been able to get right back because I have the foundational piece right there. And Megan's been there with me every step of the way to help me out. So as a Productivities Podcast listener, you will receive a complimentary metabolic profiling assessment and a 30-minute consultation with a MedPro expert. All you need to do is go to metpro.co/timecrafting to claim that offer. And I highly encourage you to do so. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. Do it now. Summer, spring, winter, fall. There's no time like the present to get your nutrition and your fitness and your lifestyle in check so that it works for you and that everything is moving along in the way that you want it to go. Again, I'm a big fan of MedPro. And I know if you give it a try, you will be too. I'd like to thank MedPro for sponsoring this episode of the Productivityist Podcast. Now let's get back to the show. So, and you mentioned Laura Vanderkam in the book as well, who's been on the show, and she talks about, you know, the amount of time and measuring. How much time have you met? Like, I don't like to do a ton of quantified stuff, right? Like the whole quantified life and all that stuff. I understand the value of it. And I think there's things that you should measure. Where do you draw? Do you draw a line into like, hey, how? What am I willing to measure in terms of time increments and what I'm not? And I mean, like I said, for me, I know that this is based on my own like ideas of theming time and such like that, where I'm like, okay, during this 8-hour period, let's say, and today would be a good example. You know, it's my audio day. So my focus for those 8 hours, and this is during work time, let's be clear. My focus is audio work. So I can kind of batch or chunk all that time to say, hey, here's what my focus is. So, you know, when you and I get off this call, I'm not going to go, what do I do next? It's that, it's like building this routine so that I can track, you know, did I do enough audio work on this day? Not how much audio work did I do, but did I hold true to the theme of the day? And that's kind of what I do when I journal. How deep do you get into like the, okay, I spent like kind of like what Laura did or what, you know, and Laura's not the only one. James Clear has talked about like, and Cal Newport, how deep do you get there? Or do you kind of, do you have a little bit of wiggle room or fluidity with that?
Yeah. Well, okay. So the whole premise of this book actually came from a student activity that I learned way, way back in the day when I was working for a small liberal arts school in St. Louis. And the dedicationist book actually is to the two women who introduced me to this activity. But I've used it years over. And it's very, I suppose it's close to Laura Vanderkam's concept of the 168-hour work week. So this activity came from taking these clocks, and they were siphoned down in blocks of time. So you would have a clock that says 10 o'clock, a 5 o'clock, a 2 o'clock, and a 1 o'clock, and those would be representative of blocks of time. So 10 hours, 5 hours, 2 hours, and 1 hour. And mm-hmm. and I don't remember exactly how many of each that you get to equal 168, but the idea behind that activity is write down all of the stuff that you do within the framework of a day, and include the weekends in that mix too. And now you're going to siphon out an effort, you're going to budget your time to the amount of time you attribute to these things. And in doing that activity, you're going to learn one of two things. You're either going to figure out that you're way, way overextended and you need to cut back on some of your activities, or you're going to figure out that you have a whole lot more time than you realized and you're just not paying attention to the things that you're doing. And it's so easy to blame social media and, you know, our phones, all the little gadgets we can do on our phones and our games and things like that, and getting sucked into television. And I'm just as guilty of that as the next person. But if I'm being honest with myself, I'm saying, like, I'm going to watch one episode of my show today, and then I'm going to put it away and go do the next thing. So to answer your original question, I try not to get sucked too much into thinking of what it, like, how long it takes to do an activity other than chunking it into a concept. So I'm not going to say it takes me 7 minutes to take a shower after I swim, but what I am going to say is from the time I leave the house to go to the pool to the time that I arrive at my job is about 2 hours. And that includes my travel time, that includes my workout time, that includes my shower and getting dressed and getting in the car and maybe buying a Diet Coke or going to Starbucks. I'm not like writing down every penny every second, but I have chunks of a concept, and that's where that morning routine and evening routine comes in to play. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Right. And I guess that allows you to be more human about the whole process as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause I think one of the things, and you mentioned this kind of right out of the gate, and I love the idea of like a time budget, I think is important because mm-hmm. I think the way in my mind that you need to do it is like, what are the most important activities? Once you frame it, right? Once you do that, like, here's where I spend my money or my time in this case, where can I save? Where should this money, like, so for example, you know, TV time, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And this is what drives me nuts about people. And we'll talk about the weekends in a minute, cause I think that that's a really important distinction as well.
Sure.
There are very few television shows or programs on television that I will watch live. Sports are pretty much the only one that I will, primarily because I know that the propensity for me to be spoiled is greater. Plus, there's something about, and I don't know if you're a sports fan or not, but there's some, other than, I mean, swimming would be a good, I mean, that's a sport clearly, but right. You know, if you're watching the Olympics live and the swimming was going on, you would much rather watch that live in the moment because it's actually happening in the moment. And so I think there's a heightened sense of excitement around that or even
absolutely.
Intrigue or attention or whatever you want to call it. But you know, if I'm going to watch an episode of, you know, The Flash, right. Or something like that, or Green Arrow, I'm not going to, if I don't see it that night, the only thing I need to do is control my behavior so that I don't go look at spoilers if I don't want to know what happened that night. I can watch it any given time. And we live in this wonderful era, and I try to explain this to my kids all the time, where they're like, oh, I can't. I have to finish watching the show. I'm like, it hit the record button. Like, literally just press that red button on the PVR and it will record it. And then right. You can watch it anytime you want. Or better
still. It'll be there later.
Yeah. Or better still, they already have recorded it. and they're watching it, or Netflix or something like that. They're like, oh no, I got to finish this. I'm like, no, you don't. It's there for you. I go, try. And then you get to play old person. You can say, right. Back in my day, you had to they had VCR plus numbers, which didn't work half the time. So you're rolling the dice then, or you had to wait and hit record at the exact time or whatever. Now you just, it's on demand whenever you want. So yep. I think that there's a distinction with, understanding what needs to be done in the moment versus what you can put off or better allocate to different times of the day. And what are your thoughts on that? And what are some examples that you maybe that I haven't mentioned, but they're rather either conventional or unconventional that people can do to elevate those 8 hours of the day that they have left?
Well, I think it's about prioritization and figuring out where your priorities are. And so we talk about that a little bit in the book, this concept of what is a must do and what is a, maybe I can put this off till later. So, and another example I like to use, where is this concept of time is money. So when you get your paycheck, you don't take your paycheck and go to the track or go to an Old Navy spending frenzy before you pay your rent. You pay your rent or you pay your mortgage first, and you take care of the essentials, and then you handle your fun money after that. So that's what I'm thinking in terms of time. If you want to scroll through Facebook, or you want to do your Instagram, or you want to watch 2 hours of House of Cards, that's great. Just put that in context with the priorities of your day and what you absolutely have to get done. So if there's zero food in the refrigerator, and you know this driving home from work, that's probably something that you need to do immediately, as opposed to going home, watching an hour of television and saying, oh, what am I going to eat for dinner? I guess we better go out and do some grocery shopping.
Right, right. Well, and the other thing too is, I think what happens also, and this gets to the weekend point, is people don't think about the weekends at all when it comes to this stuff. They think of the weekends as a break from the rest of the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. They think one of the things that I live on, I live on Vancouver Island, which is the west coast of Canada. Island time definitely takes place here, although not as much as maybe the Gulf Islands or some of the more, tropical islands. But there is a sense of I'll get to it when I get to it. I grew up near Toronto, where it's, very much a live to work mentality. You work work the 40 hours a week or more. And then Friday night, you get off work at 5 or 6 or whatever. You pack the car up, you go to the cottage for the weekend. You get to the cottage, and this drove me nuts as a kid. Go to the cottage, get the cottage ready, because you haven't been there in a whole week, so you have to do all the things. And then Saturday morning, you can enjoy it. And then Sunday, you get about half the day, maybe a third of it, and then you have to pack up. Oh, and by the way, if you've got a cottage, you maybe have to mow the lawn and all that stuff, so some of that has to happen on Saturday. And then you head back to, the rat race, and, the cycle continues. Whereas where I live, generally, and I'm being very general here, it's more of a work to live mentality, right? So yes. It's a, hey, I'm going to, one of the stories I've told is when I worked for Costco, I remember I was having a lot of people, and in the Pacific Northwest, at the time of year we're recording this, and even at the time of year this is coming out, it basically is gray. There's no such thing as, we say in the Pacific Northwest, at least this is the adage that I hear, it's we have spring, warm spring, autumn, and colder autumn. And that's about it. It doesn't really snow up here much but it gets gray. And so in January, there's a sunny day out and it's warm. We would have people that would call in sick using their sick time. So they're not, they're not doing any against anything, that they couldn't do. They have that time, but they would be honest about it. They'd be like, well, you're not coming in today. Wow. Well, it's a really nice day out. Like, are you serious? Like, yeah, yeah. And I would go to one of my managers, and I said, I'm having a real issue. I've had 3 people call in because it's a nice day out. What am I supposed to do? And they look and say, well, it is a nice day. I'm like, oh my God. So it's like that old, you can't beat them, join them mentality. But what I think people don't do is they don't take in that weekend into account when they're framing all of this time budget, or this allocation of time. Okay, we're going to take a break from the podcast to talk about a sponsor of the show, and that sponsor is Text Expander, one of my favorite productivity tools. And you can really give your productivity a boost with Text Expander. Your time is really valuable, and it's just too valuable. And life's too short to constantly retype what could be just a snippet. You know, I'll give you a personal story. I promised that off the top of the show. So I'm working with my team members, and we're seeing things that we have to type regularly. And there's more of these things that come up again and again. Hey, I want you to add a link to our show, to the blog. Hey, you know, I'd love to be a guest on your podcast. Hey, do you accept guest posts? And that's just through email responses. And we've created a series of snippets that are locked into this very, they're in this very specific group. We can move them out of that group if we want, but they're in a very specific group. And all they have to type in is the code. It's like four or five keys, often ending with a yep or a nope. And that tells them what they need to do. And it's simple. And because I'm using members of my team to do this, I can still speak kind of through my voice when they are sending these emails off rather than me doing it. So we're seeing a lot of the stuff that we're repeating, repeatedly typing my Skype handle, email addresses, my home address. In fact, the other day, it was suggested, hey, why don't you create one for your work address? And all it required me to do was duplicate the existing snippet for my home address and then just change it to work and make a couple tweaks, and we're said and done. There's drop-down menus, so you could have multiple things. So what happens with my snippet, for example, for people who want to be on the podcast, is we say, hey, we'd love to have you on the show. Here's the link to book a time to speak with Mike. But just so you know, we won't be able to air your show until, and then, you know, my team member selects spring 2020, you know, summer 2020, fall 2020, or winter 2020. Yes, we're that far ahead. So text expanders really allowed us to streamline that process and, you know, use our time wisely. There's stats and everything in there. Companies like ours use Text Expander for Teams for customer support. Exactly what I'm talking about here. Reports, email, boom, and anywhere else they need consistent and accurate text. And remember, with my team, some of them are using Mac OS, but some are using Windows. I use my iPad Pro for a lot of stuff, so I'm using it on my iPad Pro, and it's available on the iPhone and Chrome as well. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get 20% off your first year of using Text Expander. I want you to reap the benefits of this fantastic tool. So all you need to do is visit textexpander.com/podcast, and you will not only learn more about Text Expander, but you'll get that 20% off your first year of using Text Expander. To me, it's a no-brainer. I love using Text Expander. It's been a critical part of my productivity path for years, and I highly encourage you to check out what Text Expander has to offer. You will enjoy it. It will save you time, and it will save you just so much more energy, attention, all that stuff. I love Text Expander. I know you will too. I'd like to thank Text Expander for sponsoring this episode of the Productivityist Podcast. Don't forget, textexpander.com/podcast to get 20% off your first year of Text Expander. Now let's get back to the show. What do you help people with in terms of the weekend to make them understand that, look, it's still part of this greater concept known as the week, and this is where you have more control than ever?
Yeah. So I have a little tool that I made a long time ago, and it's really kind of a dorky, simple tool, but it worked so well for me. And I called it my little weekend quadrant planner. And I talk about it in the book, and it's on the website where you can go and download all the tools from the book. But it's just basically a piece of paper folded in quarters, and I would have different subjects over there. And when I invented this little gadget that I use, I was a huge moviegoer. I would see 2 and 3 movies in a weekend, and that was part of who I was at the time. That was my social life and my personal time. So I would know going into the weekend, like, I'm going to spend probably 10 hours between 2 days at the movie theater, and I'd pencil that in. This is where I'm going to spend my time on the weekends. But then there'd be chores and there would be errands. So what needs to be done in the house? Like, do we need to do laundry? Do we need to take stuff to the dry cleaner? And then errands. Do we need to buy toiletries, or do we need to gas up the cars or go grocery shopping? Or is there a big sale happening at, you know, Swim Outlet, and we're going to go buy swimming equipment? So those types of things, I think, taking into consideration what you couldn't get done in those 5 days of 8 hours, now you've got 16 and 16, 32 more hours on the weekend to kind of to take care of that stuff. And if you've only been able to spend an hour a day with your kids, if you have kids, then the weekend would be the time that you plan that longer event to hang out with your family and do stuff like that. And it was somebody else that wrote about the 4-way win. And I love that those types of things can pull into the pull into the mix. So for example, my husband and I run a nonprofit swim team, and we probably compete at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. But the people that swim for us, they have become our friends. So in that mix, I'm getting my exercise because I'm swimming. I'm running my side hustle, so I'm doing work. I'm socializing with the people that are on my team. So I'm getting, you know, adult time with other grownups that I like. So those are three things that I'm knocking out in the weekend doing one activity. And then, you know, I can say for that Sunday that we've been at that swim meet, I've had a full day and I got a whole bunch of stuff done that I wanted to do. So it feels more productive when you can sort of do some of that overlapping. You know, spend time with your family going to a work picnic that's being put on by your office at a zoo or at a big park or something like that. That way you're connecting with your work colleagues outside of the office, and you're also taking your kids someplace fun.
This actually brings me to a good question that we're getting close to wrapping up here, but I think this is really, I think this is something that not enough people do. You know, you just recounted, you know, this concept of, you know, kind of pairing off or linking off certain activities or ways that you can use your time that allow you to kind of kill more than one bird with a stone, right?
Exactly.
Journaling. How big are you into that? Because, I mean, if you're talking about quantified stuff, which is like, hey, here's where my time goes, how big are you in terms of journaling and reflection? And where does, like, what does a typical, if you do journal, what does a typical kind of journal entry look like? Is it a nice mix of, hey, here's the quality of what I did as well as how long I did it? Or is it more focused on the qualitative? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I like to journal twice a day. I like to write in the morning as part of my morning routine after I've done a meditation. So I might write about, especially if I had a dream that I'm trying to figure out, because I truly do believe that our dreams come from unresolved issues in our life. So if I've had a dream that I want to break down, I'll meditate, I'll write about the dream in my journal, or I might write about something I'm excited to do that day, or I might just, you know, reflect on something that I thought about while I was meditating. So that's my morning writing. And then I like to do a gratitude and appreciation list before I go to bed. And that usually takes into consideration, like, what were the cool things that happened to me today? And who are the people in my life that were part of that? So I often find myself, you know, writing appreciation for my husband for something that he did, or for someone cool from the swim team, something that they did, or an experience I had at the office, or a student that I helped, or things of that nature. So it comes into play because it definitely allows me to reflect on the activities of the day in a way that makes me feel like my time is well spent and that I've enjoyed all of the activities that I participated in. And if I haven't, to commiserate a little bit about that and get it on the paper and get it out of my head and then shut the book and turn off the lights and go to bed, and that's my day.
So Chris, as we wrap up here, I want to circle back to you know, the idea of elevating your eight. And it sounds, for some people, they're going to look at this and go, okay, elevate sounds like a big jump, because elevate to some people is going to be like, oh, just a little step, but elevate to some people sounds like a massive leap. So for those who are feeling either way, what's the one thing that they could do today, like right when they're done listening to this episode, that will help them start to elevate their eight?
I would say get a firm grasp on how long it takes you to do some of those littler things within your day that you can't not do. So getting ready for work, your shower, your breakfast, your commute, if that is something that you do, you commute to work. Because I think once you get a grip on some of those things that we tend to over or underestimate, it's going to be so much easier to prioritize the other things, like hanging out with your kids or going on a date night with your partner, or, you know, going to a movie after work or happy hour with your colleagues.
Chris, this has been great. Thanks so much for taking the time today. The book is called Elevate Your Eight, 21 Days to Prosperous Time Management, but you've got a few others out there as well. Can you tell people where they can find all of your work and where they can keep up with what you've got going on?
Yeah, sure. So I'm on Amazon with both of my publications. That's Elevate Your Eight and also Making Work Work For You. And you can just, you know, put in my name on Amazon and you'll find my books there. I have some smaller publications as well that are Kindle books, and they range from job interview skills to writing a good cover letter. And those are all like Kindle singles that you can find. I just started my podcast recently, and it is also called Elevate Your Eight. So you can find that on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. And my webpage is silverpeakdevelopment.com.
Chris, thanks for joining me today on the Productivityist Podcast.
Mike, thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
And there you have it. That's how the interview went down. That's how our conversation went down. Thanks so much to Chris McPeak for joining me on the show today. Everything we discussed is in the show notes, so you can check that out. Again, if you want to really get things dialed in when it comes to the podcast, you can go to productivityist.com/podcast253. That's going to be the URL. In fact, for all the podcasts, it's just productivityist.com/podcast. And then the number of the podcast gives you the show notes, all the goodies that you're going to need, including what you want to get in terms of the offers that our sponsors offer. So for example, MetPro was one of our sponsors for this episode. If you want to get that complimentary metabolic profiling assessment and the 30-minute consultation with a MetPro expert, just go to metpro.co/timecrafting. You can make that happen. Again, you can just click on that link in the show notes. Also, Text Expander sponsored this episode, so I'm really wanting to thank them for being part of this. You can go to textexpander.com/podcast to learn more about Text Expander, and listeners of the Productivities Podcast, again, get 20% off their first year. So textexpander.com/podcast. Thanks to Text Expander, an indispensable part of my productivity workflow, for sponsoring this episode of the Productivities Podcast. Thanks to John Polstra for producing this episode. Thanks to Connie for putting the show notes together. Thanks to Dave for doing some stuff as well. Thanks to you for listening. And until next time, I am your host of the Productivities Podcast, Mike Vardy, reminding you to stop guessing and start going. I'll see you later.